This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, Joe. 560 The Joe Radio Rewind, running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Day on a feel-good Friday. Nope, not cracking open the beers yet, but feeling good with some reggae music throughout to make you say Irie as you go into the weekend. Plus, we've got the Joe Rose Show catching up with Big Mike Golic, as opposed to Lil Mike Golic, who is Mike Golic Jr., talking football, and then Greeny talking to my cousin, Marcus Spears. We went to college together. We're both from Louisiana. That's about the only similarities we have. And nonetheless, they're going to tell LSU stories and assess the Super Bowl. Finally, Hawk and Crowder are going to give you some heat, bringing the heat with John Crotty. Right now, I'm bringing you the headlines, so open wide. Ryan Fitzpatrick has advised Tua Tagovailoa to block out criticism and trade rumors. He believes Tua is Miami's quarterback of the future and will have a big second season. The NBA and NBAPA are finalizing an agreement for an all-star event March 7th in Atlanta. The one-day extravaganza is said to have an East-West game and skills challenge. Avery Bradley could miss a month of action after injuring his calf in a Wednesday loss to Washington. The Heat and Wizards play again tonight at 8. The Panthers fell to the Predators last night 6-5, but it was in overtime, so Florida did gain 1 point in the standings. The two play again tonight at 7. Raiders coach John Gruden says a team will have to give up 7 first-round draft picks to get quarterback Deshaun Watson. Watson remains unhappy with the Texans organization. And now, after a long week, you've earned it. Let's take a step into the day spa. Football fans are expected to eat 20 million pounds of cheese during this weekend's Super Bowl. Clear the bathrooms! A drunk woman in a pink bikini recently led Southern California police on a low-speed chase throughout the city. My hot mess of the day. A wallet lost in Antarctica some 53 years ago has been returned to its owner. Try explaining that one to your wife. The other morning, a man discovered that his parked car had been dented by another car, and the driver left a note apologizing, plus a box of Ritz crackers. Well, at least he didn't leave empty-handed. Never leaving you empty-handed, the Joe Rose Show, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Joe Rose has been doing it, and doing it well, and so has Mike Golic for years. He has been a legend in the game. Those two, they met up this morning, talking about his Reggie White, the best of all time when it comes to pass rushing. Mahomes O-line, oh my. Ever see a Brady-like player again in the NFL? I don't know. They do some Tua talk, and what is Watson worth?
Mike, I want to ask you this before we start with all the football stuff. Do you still wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, or are you sleeping in a little bit later these days?
That took about a month where I would still wake up at about 4:15. Now I get up at about 7:15, 7:30, and this it's amazing. It's bright out. There's this bright orb in the sky that I never knew existed when I woke up.
Mike, that run, Mike, is unbelievable. 22-year run, not just doing
the radio, you're on TV, and we used to see in the morning, I mean, I feel like you've been part of our life here, on our monitors in the morning, like, did you ever forget you're on TV, and like, when you're going to break, do you ever get caught in one of those moments? I don't think I could do it.
Oh, no, I mean, I never, because we always wanted to make it radio on TV, so I never even looked at the cameras. There are times I forgot we were on TV and didn't realize we were on TV, but we are on TV. They just shot it around a radio show. But no, you know, I mean, it's one of those things like anything else. You know, you play ball, you live a life of an itinerary. You're supposed to get up at a certain time, right. Be somewhere at a certain time. This was just my itinerary for 20-some years, getting up at 4:15. I just had to do it, so I did it.
Oh, man, that's great, Mike, and it is great to have you on the show here. Hey, Mike, a lot of stuff. We recently had we had a pass rusher on, and so we all started yapping about great pass rushers, and you play with Reggie White in Philadelphia. I never asked you this. I forgot he was 290, almost 300 pounds. Is he the greatest pass rusher? I mean, they come in all different sizes and shapes, but on 3rd and 8, is he the best pass rusher of all time?
I think so. And by the way, he was 6'6", 315.
Oh.
And at that size, I watched him run a 4.6 40. He basically bench pressed, squatted, and power cleaned with a lot of weight. And so he had great strength to go with leverage. Now, I think he's the best because he could do it anywhere on the line. You know, he lined up over the guard, over the tackle, over the center. It didn't matter. He could line up anywhere, right side, left side. It didn't matter. I'm probably biased because certainly LT has to be, you know, in that conversation. I know Bill Belichick says that's the greatest guy he's ever coached. Again, he coached him. He didn't coach Reggie. So you don't know where bias comes into it. And you wonder if at the end of his career, is Aaron Donald going to put himself in that, in the elite names of a Reggie, you know, and a Lawrence Taylor, the way he's playing right now. But Reggie was the most freakish thing for his size that I've seen guys do.
Well, Mike, that's a good transition because speaking of pass rushers, Pat Mahomes, we know, is kind of Superman at this point and puts up big numbers and a lot of points every single game. What's going to happen this week when he goes against that Tampa Bay defense who's been rushing the passer very well and missing a right and left tackle starting from the beginning of the year? What's going to be that situation there?
Yeah, I think that's going to be something to keep an eye on. Like, will Kansas City help? You saw against Green Bay with Bakhtiari out, they got a new left tackle. The right tackle got dealt on. Both those outside guys got dealt on the entire game, and Green Bay didn't help. Their offense doesn't help. They say, you got to block. This is our scheme, which can be ridiculous when you're getting that quick of pressure on Aaron Rodgers. If they're able, you know, Remmers goes from right tackle to left tackle, Wiley right guard to right tackle, Wisniewski comes into right guard, so it's a three-personnel switch. So, yeah, and the way that Tampa defense has been playing, the monster linebackers, Vita Vea pushing the pocket up the middle, I would think if they're getting good rush straight on that you're going to see Kansas City adjust and have to chip with a back or with a tight end, because you just can't let your guys get beat that quickly like what was happening in Green Bay.
Ever going to see anything like what Tom Brady's done, going to another Super Bowl and he may not be done. Ever see it again?
I don't know how. I mean, to sit here, you know, and I hated to do it when people would ask me, well, in 10 years, will we be saying the same thing about Pat Mahomes? I'm like, no. Tom's been playing 21 years.
Right.
You know, Pat is the best quarterback in the league right now. But Pat is in his infancy compared to Tom Brady. And what Tom Brady, you could split his career in half and he would have two separate Hall of Fame careers, his first 10 years and his last 11 years. If he wins this Super Bowl, it's more than any other franchise has won as a franchise. So to sit here and say who's the next one to do it, I would say, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen again. I have no idea. And I know everybody looks at Pat Mahomes and says, he may be the guy. Well, yeah, he's on a great team. He is a great quarterback. But they have a long, 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 long way to go before they reach the heights of what Tom Brady has done.
Mike, you want to jump into our world a little bit for just a second? Talk about Tua Tagovailoa.
Sure.
And I'm just curious. You got to see him. You've talked about him as well at Alabama and now with the Dolphins. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it'll be interesting. You know, you guys just go into the two offensive coordinator system. At least it was hired from, you know, within, with what was it, Studsville and Godsey.
Yeah.
So, you know, at least the system will stay the same. Obviously, the guys will have the differences of game planning and such. So that'll be interesting how it works. Third change in 3 years, that's not the greatest thing in the world. Tua needs some continuity. I like Tua coming out of college, no doubt about it. I would imagine to be even more RPOs going because of his ability to take off if he has to. I do like him because I know everybody says, well, do you do that or do you trade for Deshaun Watson? Listen, there's only a couple of teams that Deshaun Watson couldn't be on and should be traded for. But you have to decide, is the guy you have, do you think you can build him enough, and do you want to give up all those assets you'd have to get up to get Deshaun? You know what? I think, too, we saw some. I think it was like it's questionable when you pull a guy out. I didn't understand when they started him. Quite honestly, I thought Fitzpatrick was playing well, why they made that move. And then you make a couple of moves where you pull him out of games. I was like, man, if you're going to go down that road, you know, let them learn. So I wasn't all that keen on how they handled it, but it looks, because they hired from within with the coordinators, it looks like they're going to go down that road. And let's see, this should be a big learning year for him and a big improvement year for him.
All right, well, Deshaun Watson looks like he's going to be moved out of Houston, or at least that's what the thought process is. What is Deshaun Watson worth to a team right now? What's too much to give up for a guy like that who possibly in some people's minds could be a top three, top five quarterback in this league right now? Franchise quarterback, 25 years old, you're the GM of a team. What do you give up for him if they're asking for, you know, your house and your kids? And like, what do you do here?
Well, you know, it's at least three first-rounders, so you have to be ready to part with that. So once you're there, what is it, you know, unless they just start piling bricks on the scale after that, you know, what does it matter? I mean, yeah. if you're willing to, let me put it this way. If anybody is willing to say, yes, we are going to make a legitimate run at Deshaun Watson, then you're not really worried about what you're going to give up, because you know it's going to cost you a fortune in assets, either flipping players, if it's quarterbacks, and the three first rounders, and then, you know, there'll be some arbitrary things thrown in there as well. But the big thing is it's going to be three first rounders. Look what Stafford went for on the flip of two first pick quarterbacks in Goff and Stafford. So you have to know let me put it this way, you're not dipping a toe into that. No. You are diving into the deep end. If you're going to call Houston, you better call Houston and unload the draft pick brings truck.
Mike, have you been surprised by all this quarterback talk, and all of a sudden looks like half the league's looking for a franchise quarterback? I don't know if I've seen anything like this. Are we that short on quality quarterbacks right now?
It's either that or the building of quarterbacks. You know, in L.A., if they wanted to get rid of Goff, you got a ready team right now. You don't want to bring in a young guy. You got the Colts who tried it with Phillip Rivers. You have a ready team there right now, so you don't want to bring in a young guy. So that's why you start, I think, to see the veterans flip around. Unless it's a guy going to a team that's bad and needs to rebuild, they want to get a veteran quarterback in there to keep going. You know, you don't want to say, oh God, we have a good running game, we got good receivers, you know, we have a really good defense. We don't want to stop and take a breath and have to bring a young quarterback along. We want to bring a veteran. So I think that's what we're seeing in some of these situations now.
Mike, everyone likes to have a big Super Bowl party, lots of food. Everyone likes to have a little bit of action on the game as well. You got something really cool going on for the game on Sunday. Super Bowl Squares at supersquares.com. Tell people about this. Everyone loves doing the squares for the Super Bowl, but this is an interesting way how to do it.
Yeah, this is very interesting. It's really the modern way. You know, the old paper squares game, you pick a couple numbers and got
right.
Or squares. And God forbid you don't get a 5 and a 9, or you might as well not even watch. So we've all done that. So this is, you know, that was paper, and this is an app. This is what we go to. Now you go to supersquares.com, and like you said, you download the app, and you can play Super Squares, but it's even more. You're going to make actually three predictions on the game and get a point value on how close you are to those predictions. You're going to get asked two questions about two advertisements with it while you're setting up the game, and you get points for answering the questions right about the commercials, and you're going to need those points. And then you pick one square, but that one square turns into four different combinations. So your numbers change each quarter, so you don't get stuck with bad numbers. So and there's over $2 million in cash and prizes up for grabs. Again, it's free to do this. Someone's going to win an $80,000 Rivian electric SUV. Even if you like playing in your groups, you can do it on the app. It's called the Skybox. You can make your own group on a Skybox, just have your own people in there and do your own prizes, but your score in your Skybox still counts on the national level, so you can win prizes there as well. So it's pretty cool. I'll have a Skybox. My password is Golic, G-O-L-I-C. Jump in my Skybox. If you win my Skybox, I'm going to have a great prize for you as well. It's just a cool thing. You know, it's just the modern technology of the Squares game. Download the app. It'll take you about 3 minutes. You can do it now. The game is ready to go for the Super Bowl. So just have at it. Take you about 3 minutes, and then kick back and see your points add up.
Supersquares.com is the website. Super Bowl Squares. Make sure you use the passcode Golic to crash his Skybox and win some money. Over $2 million up for grabs this Sunday. Mike, thank you very much.
Thanks,
for the time.
Mike.
I really
appreciate it, man.
Buddy.
Thank you.
Oh, good talking to you guys. Y'all take care.
After hearing that, I am so ready for the Super Bowl. Let's get it on.
And Marcus, who was the pride of LSU, we had a pick six last time LSU won the national championship. We're down there, and LSU was getting set to play. It was Clemson for the title that year. And Marcus was a huge part, as he remains, of Get Up. And we're down there, and we're in the hotel lobby, and we're all getting ready to go over to the set to do our show on the morning of the game.
I'm pulling for the Kansas City Chiefs. I like Mahomes. I like those guys. And I'm also from New Orleans, so I do not like Tampa Bay. They are in our division. Let's go Chiefs. Let's go Chiefs. Let's go to Greeny. Greeny telling stories about Marcus Spears. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't on that yak. We'll find out next, plus some reggae music, because it's a feel-good Friday here on 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. Welcome back to 560 The Joe Radio Rewind, running back some of the best audio you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Day, and you can hear by the music, it is a feel-good Friday. My favorite song from my favorite reggae artist, Dennis Brown, Westbound Train. Take that train to your weekend. Oh, the weekend going to be performing Super Bowl halftime show, so it's a big weekend around here. It's always big time with Greeny from 10 to noon right here on 560 The Joe. Mike Greenberg, he's friends with Marcus Spears. So am I. We went to school together. We took mass comm classes together. We're both from Louisiana. That's about it. No similarities in there. Nonetheless, they're going to be telling some LSU stories. I'm excited to hear this one. Also, Marcus Spears is going to be assessing the Super Bowl and on that yak.
Hello again, Marcus Spears.
Gee, what's up, brother?
Well, I'm good. And you're down there, and we're getting ready for this. And here's what I really would like to do.
Gee, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me ask you a question, man.
Yes.
I'm having a little crisis.
Tell me.
How do I cut the back of my cigar and I don't have a cigar cutter?
There are a lot of ways to do it. You're asking me, cut the back of your cigar. I mean, you can use just a knife, a pair of scissors.
Just a knife?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a regular
right.
knife, you can do
knife.
It. A
okay.
pair of scissors.
Let's work.
It's just like cutting things. I've seen people.
I'm on the road. I don't have them tools available to me, so I just needed to figure out how to do it.
You strike me as the kind of person who would just bite off the end of the cigar, Marcus, knowing you as I do.
Gee, that's what I did.
How about that? See, I got it right. Particularly when perhaps that might be a way of doing that when one is on that yak.
On that yak, baby. Yeah, you know. All right, let's go, man.
I love that story, by the way. Let's just tell that story for a moment.
Just going to sit back and have a little story time.
We're in new story.
I keep talking over these things. I tell you a quick story. We're down at the Super at the college championship game last year, and Marcus, who was the pride of LSU, we had a pick six last time LSU won the national championship. We're down there, and LSU was getting set to play. It was Clemson for the title that year, and Marcus was a huge part, as he remains, of Get Up. And we're down there, and we're in the hotel lobby, and we're all getting ready to go over to the set to do our show on the morning of the game. And bear in mind, we've got, you know, it's an hour earlier there. So we're all being picked up. It's 5 a.m. And Marcus is a tad late. And he gets out of the elevator, and he looks a little raggedy. And I said, are we doing all right, Marcus? And he said to me, Greeny, I was on that yak last night. And I didn't know what that meant. Honestly, I thought it meant, I'll tell you the truth now. I don't think I admitted this to you then. I thought it meant that you had drank so much you threw up. And thus, some people refer to that as yakking. And so that's what I thought yakking. It meant when you said on that yak.
No, G, where we from, we don't throw up, bro. We hold that liquor. It gets our brain and our blood, but we ain't throwing nothing up where I'm from.
I got you. And that's one of the many reasons why you're you and I'm me. All right. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's get down to business here. Okay. You were a defensive lineman. You understand the way those guys want to wreck the game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive front wants to ruin this game, and they get to do it against a banged up Kansas City offensive line. How does that play out Sunday night from both sides?
Gee, you know, you've heard me talk so much about the ability to rush four and keep seven in coverage. And there is not a team in the NFL where there's more, that's more important as a defense as to when you play in the Kansas City Chiefs. We know you have to have the ability to dedicate seven guys in the coverage. And we also know the last time that the Kansas City Chiefs lost, it was 28 pressures by the Las Vegas Raiders with a four-man rush. They did not have to commit to trying to pressure Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes has been as good facing pressure as most quarterbacks in the league have been with clean pockets and time to throw the football. So it's ripe, right? And then I know just from playing in this league for 9 years and a defensive lineman's mentality, especially when you have pass rushers like Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett, obviously, getting Vita Vea back at Dominican Sue Golston, like they have a committee. They do it by committee. They play well together. And this game in particular for them is not just about winning their one-on-one matchups. It's also about understanding how to cover for each other, right? A guy vacates the area. Let's, for example, if JPP decides to take the underneath on the offensive tackle to try to get a sack, Vita Vea or Dominican Sue, whatever inside guy is next to his side, needs to replace him. Because Patrick is mobile, and he's shown us, like, during this time of the year that he can be devastating in that regard. So they can absolutely take over this game if they find early that these guys can't block them in their one-on-one matchups. And then you get a level of equalness when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs offense versus the Bucs defense. The issue you have, and talking about this Kansas City Chiefs offensive line, is that Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy does such a tremendous job of taking really the O-line out of the play, like not asking them to hold up for a long period of time in a pass route. Mahomes, you know, the fear of him not only being mobile but gutting you down the field also makes guys a little bit apprehensive about just getting crazy about how they rush and all of that. We know about Tyreek and his jet sweep motion and Miko Hardman, and also Travis Kelce with quick releases and influencing defenses. So they still present challenges. And look, the O-line thing is big, G, don't get me wrong. But it's not as big as it would be because of all of the skill talent that the Kansas City Chiefs have on offense. But this D-line, if we walk away from this game and Tampa Bay has won it, it will be because this D-line dominated and they were able to get the Patrick Mahomes, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were able to keep seven guys in coverage, which you need against this juggernaut of an offense.
Well, that's excellent insight there. Marcus Spears with me here. So let's go a little more. Let's do a little more sort of this is for the advanced class X's and O's stuff. Hembo gave me a stat. These teams played each other November 29th. In that game, there were 17 passes that Mahomes threw that he got rid of within 2 seconds. He had thrown it within the first 2 seconds. He was 16 of 17 for 171 yards. So now you're the defense. Like, what do you do about that? How do you counter that? Because now it doesn't seem to make a difference who the offensive line is.
Gee, knowing the dilemma that you have trying to cover Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, at some points in this game, Todd Bowles is going to have to say, hey, guys, I need you to hold up for a second and a half, 2 seconds, 2.5 seconds. And just make Patrick Mahomes pull the ball down. Don't give Tyreek easy access situations. That may mean you need to bracket. You need to keep a guy on the inside and allow Carlton Davis to play outside and kind of funnel him into another defender. That means you may have to, you know, spend some extra capital that you have to bump Travis Kelce when he's coming off the end of the line of scrimmage. Or when you spread him out, you try to get a safety over there that can kind of stay with him initially, right? Like, the longer the play, though, obviously you're going to have issues with Kansas City. Todd Bowles has to find ways where his secondary doesn't allow those fast access throws. Now, if we checking down to backs or if we throwing screens or if we just raising up, throwing the ball out to the perimeter and trying to create it that way, we're talking about something totally different where you have to rally and tackle, right? And that's even at a premium this game as far as getting guys on the ground. But the bottom line is, and you know me, G, I've talked to you about this for a long time. Defenses get in a groove when they start to dictate what the offense is going to do. What has made Kansas City so great is that they've never
been in a situation where a defense dictated how they're going to run offense. And Andy Reid is going to be aggressive regardless of what the score is, behind, up, whatever. He's going to continue multiplicity, different formations, different sets, use Tyreek's speed. He's going to do all of that. But in order to kind of stifle that, as hard as it is, like, I'm not saying it like it's something that you can easily do. You're going to have to try to get up and get hands on Tyreek Hill or the receivers and Kelsey, and then you want to funnel them to another defensive player to either be in that window or just to take away a second or a half a second from Mahomes in order for your guys to get there. And this is the definition that you've heard all of your time covering sports. The back end and the front has to be married. And sometimes it needs to be coverage sacks, and sometimes the defensive line needs to help those guys on the back end not have to cover for a long period of time. And that's the plan, but you have to take away quick, easy access throws and then hope that you get Patrick Mahomes to either hitch, pull the ball down, and try to find someone else. And by that time, if Shaq Barrett and Ndamukong Suh and Vita Vea and JPP or Golston, if he in there, if they not there by that time, they going to lose the damn game anyway.
Marcus Spears with me here. One more thing for you, and I think this is interesting and instructive. I don't mean it in any sort of negative way, but I've got Hembo sitting with me here, and Hembo is one of the producers on Get Up. And one of their jobs is they will talk to guys like Marcus the day before the show and get insight into what their thoughts are going to be. And Hembo tells me that when you spoke to him on the phone yesterday, you told him, I'm taking the Buccaneers. And then this morning on television, you picked the Chiefs. So my question is, what made you change your mind?
I thought about Kansas City's defense, G. You know, I fell into thinking of this game strictly from Tampa Bay's defense and how good they are versus both really good offenses, right? Like, these are two units that are very good. But Kansas City's defense, man, I cannot own how good they've been in the playoffs when it comes to situational football. Yes, they've given up points, but they've also taken the ball away. I watched Tom Brady throw three interceptions last week. I watched Tom Brady have problems when he had pressure up in his face. All of those things, and then coupled with the fact that Spags has played against Tom. I don't care about the record, right? Every game is different. You put some validity into that, but these are different schemes, different times, different teams. But I don't think we have – I don't want to say it in a way where analysts like myself here hasn't, like, given enough credit. It just seems like this Chiefs defense always answers, G. It feels like we get so enamored with talking about offense for the Chiefs and all of the things that they've done that we forget how good Tyrann Mathieu has been in the playoffs. We forget that Breeland makes plays. He gets penalties. He gets PIs. But we also forget that he's a long, lanky corner, right? We forget that Thornhill came back and helped this team tremendously, and now they look like that defense that they took down in the playoffs. So I just – you know, being enamored with what the Bucs have done defensively, it kind of just put the Kansas City Chiefs defense to the back for me. And then I had to remind myself, that's a unit with guys on that unit that are elite. I'm going to take Mahomes when I feel like his defense is going to play well enough to win a game.
Hey, you behave yourself down there, okay? Enjoy it, and I will see you next week.
I got you, my brother. Have a glass of yak for me. It's Friday. You're going home this week.
Marcus Spears hitting the yak. Yes, indeed. And Greeny, probably not hitting the yak. He's a little more of a serious guy. But I don't know. Maybe he can party. Maybe he can. Maybe he can. I know Hawk and Crowder can party.
Going up until very recently, last couple of games, they finally got everybody back. You know, your top four guys, your Jimmy Butler, who's been out.
Going to be partying it up with Crotty next here on 560 The Joe Radio Rewind.
Ruben, what are we going to do then? Slew them!
560 The Joe Radio Rewind, running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. It is a feel-good Friday. I am Dan Day. You got the reggae playing in the background. You got me thinking about going and getting some beers and watching the Super Bowl and maybe looking at the chicas walking around Miami Beach. I'm getting a little too deep into my life right now, so I'm going to stop reminiscing and staring off into the sun and let you know. And it's always fun with the Hawk and Crowder Show, weekdays from 2 to 6. Might not always be so much fun with the Heat recently, but hey, no worries. They're going to get back to their winning ways because we've got culture. Hawk and Crowder talking to part of the culture. John Crotty talking about what's going on with the Heat. Also, what's the difference from last year and this year? And he also touches on the All-Star game that may or may not be coming soon, but most likely is coming soon.
The Heat need John Crotty, not as a broadcaster. I mean, on the court.
And that picture we just sent on Twitter, that picture
right?
of John
on Twitter?
Coming down the court. Bro, he ripped.
He is cut up. He is cut up, man. John Crotty, longtime point guard in the NBA, one season with the Heat, but you see him on Fox Sports Sun for all the Heat broadcasts. Him and Eric Reed do a great job on the telecast. We tweeted out in advance of you coming on with us a picture of you in that Heat uni. I mean, you must have spent your days in the weight room, Crotty.
Look, dude, I'm posing right now, just, you know, thinking about that photo right there.
Bro, you look good, bro.
Hey, man, you know.
Yeah, they weren't, they weren't cut in those days like you're cut right there. That's man.
A lot of running, Hawk. That's a lot of running, man. You can't, you know, couldn't put enough calories into the body to keep up with the metabolism that, you know, when you're running like that, it's crazy.
You still eat healthy and where, I mean, I know you're fit, but like, do you allow yourself to eat whatever you want
absolutely.
Now that you don't play anymore?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I eat pretty well. I'm only about, what do I weigh, maybe 5-8 pounds more than when I played. So I think my body naturally wanted to be a little heavier, but you're just, such a long season and it's such a grind and there's so much running involved that the way I was built, it was just hard to keep weight on during the course of the season. Which is, you know, a good problem to have versus the other side of the spectrum, right? So,
yeah, I know Crowder's going to mention
I'm
Zion
on the other
Williamson.
Side of the spectrum, as you put it, bro. You've only gained 8 pounds. Goodness gracious, I'm like 30 pounds heavier than when I played.
Well, you're all bulked up, man. You're freaking in the weight room every day. That's why, right? You got your powerlifter.
No, I'm powerlifting wings right and now. Beer. I do wings and beer. That's my workout.
John Crotty is with us. All right, what's going on with the Heat, Crotty? Because you know that game against Washington without Russell Westbrook, that was brutal. And I still don't know exactly which possession it was. It was within like the last 2-3 minutes of the game. It was one of the worst possessions I've ever seen in the history of watching basketball. What's going on with this team right now?
Yeah, it's been frustrating, and I think a couple things. First of all, I think the last time we spoke, and it's going up until very recently, last couple of games, they finally got everybody back, you know, your top four guys, your Jimmy Butler, who's been out for an extended period of time with protocols. Tyler Hero had neck issues. He had Bam out a bit earlier on, but he's been really the healthiest. And then Dragic, who was out with a groin. So those four guys are really your top players in terms of being able to create for others and themselves. And they make the game easier for everybody else. So it's good to finally get them back. What's been tough is the last couple of games, there's been some, you know, tough losses down the stretch. And, you know, that's the hardest thing to, from a chemistry perspective, is being able to execute under pressure in the fourth quarter, you know, making plays. And I think that'll come. What concerns me is the entire second half in the last game against the Wizards, who are a poor defensive team. Miami was just so out of sync. And what the Wizards did was they threw a combination of zone and man-to-man and matchup zone. And it was kind of hard to read, you know, what they were doing. So Miami's offense kind of never got into sync. I'm talking about in the second half. And it was, you know, cleverly played, particularly in the fourth quarter by the Wizards. I think we'll see the team make some adjustments tonight, but it's been a combination of turnovers, you know, poor offensive execution, not rebounding the ball well. And it's all those things make a difference. And our team in particular, if we don't make 3-point shots, there's a direct impact in the loss column too. So it's a lot of smaller things that when you put them all together, add up to a poor result.
And along those lines of just, you know, the teams playing differently, you brought up zone and man, you know, mixing it up with the Heat. Duncan Robinson said teams are defensively different this year. They're playing us differently defensively when he was asked about the 3-point shooting woes right now.
Right.
What's going on there? Because Tyler, we have shooters, Tyler and Duncan, but we don't seem to be hitting right. The threes like we did in that run last season.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Duncan in particular, Channing, they're really running him off the line. There is a high priority, you know, of defensive scheming going on in every game to take away Duncan Robinson's ability to impact the game. And, you know, the thing about a guy like Duncan is he can be, you may not necessarily notice him on the floor, and all of a sudden he can hit three shots, right, in a row. It's 9 points, and the game changes completely, right? So that's what they worry about with a guy like Duncan. You know, my argument to some of this is, well, if they're so worried about Duncan and they're having to go all the way out beyond the arc to guard him, that typically means that there's more space to operate in the seams for the drivers like Jimmy, like Gorn in particular. So there has to be, you know, you got to take advantage of that. But I do think the ball movement hasn't been there, and a lot of it has to do with Jimmy's hasn't been around to draw double teams, and the entire, you know, cast hasn't been together like it has the last couple.
What does a team do mentally after a loss like that? You played in the NBA for a long time. That's a game they were heavy favorites. Russell Westbrook's not playing. Now you lose that game. You get to tonight. Russell Westbrook is playing. You are mired in a terrible start to the season. Like, what can a team do mentally to break out of this?
There's a couple schools of thought. You know, if it's an anomaly and it's just a one-off situation where you have a bad game, you kind of file it and just throw it away and you move on to the next one. You know, the way the team's playing now, there's definitely things that Coach Spoelstra focused on yesterday in practice, showing film, showing the different scenarios that they got to improve on, some of the things I referred to, particularly on the offensive end. There was some poor spacing where guys are, you know, two guys are close enough to one another where one defensive player can guard them. That allows defensive players to cheat and maybe double team the ball. Lack of cutting and screening, I think, also helped on the offensive end. And then taking care of the ball better, too. I mean, it's hard to practice to not turn the ball over, but you do that by practicing what I just said, better spacing, make the easy play. You don't have to make the dramatic, spectacular play. So those are some of the takeaways. And then defensively, too, I thought defensive transition, you know, meaning after you take your shot, you got to sprint back and set your defense and match up. The Heat did not do a good job of that, and the Wizards were able to score in transition. They had like 14, 15 points in transition that way, and that's something Miami can improve upon. So there's a lot of things that he's going to dig in on there. And look, the way the season is now, guys, which is really – to me, I like it. You know, we have these series now, like baseball, where, you know, you're regularly playing teams twice. So it's kind of cool because it's got this playoff vibe, whereas typically you play the game, it's over, now you move on to the next team. You have a little bit of a revenge factor here. You can you know, play a little bit harder to try to get a win after losing a game. And there's cool little adjustments that take place from one game to the next.
And, John, something I just heard, I was talking to LeBron. LeBron was talking about the All-Star game dilemma, and I'm sure, you know, we'll get into that in a second. But he brought up there was 71 days between the championship and then the season starting. And you look at, like, the injury report, you know, even for tonight with what's going on with the Heat. I don't want to make excuses, you know. We're athletes. No excuses. Sure. Just go do your job. But with all these injuries and everything that's going on, do you think the quick turnaround has anything to do with the Heat struggles?
You know, it's a valid question. I really don't, because the injuries to me have been more safety protocol oriented, you know, versus, you know, a guy blowing out a knee or some sort of repetitive injury, you know, type situation. You know, the injuries that have happened have been like maybe a guy getting hit, right? So I don't see that. And look, the two teams that have been impacted by that the most are the Lakers and the Heat. And the Lakers have been, you know, fairly healthy, right? It's really, you know, the safety protocols have really hurt Miami with losing guys like Jimmy out for 3 weeks. I mean, that's your star player, right? So that really hurts. And I mean, you know, if you look at, we were talking two games ago when we played the Charlotte Hornets. The Charlotte Hornets were the last team we played before COVID stopped the league. That was March 11th. The last game that the Charlotte Hornets had played was March 11th of last year. Meaning, you know, think about how long that's been since we played that team. It was, you know, almost a full year. That's crazy. That never happened. So a lot of the other teams have had more than enough rest. I don't know. I don't really think that's impacted, you know, the injuries as much as just, you know, the overall not being in a bubble anymore and having to worry about the safety protocols and COVID.
What do you think about the All-Star game? I mean, as Crowder mentioned, LeBron very vocal yesterday that, you know, he'll be there physically but not mentally. And by the way, I don't blame him. Like, the Heat and the Lakers have played so recently. Yeah. I think De'Aaron Fox criticized it as well. What do you think of it?
Look, it's always been such a great whole weekend of celebration. I like that the commissioner made it now like a six-day type break so the guys who actually do participate can then come back and get maybe a three-day, four-day layoff. To me, I understand what the current players are saying just based upon, you know, what's going on in the world and why risk, you know, having anybody maybe get exposed. And you know, my understanding was when we started the year that it was going to be more about a break and a possible time to reschedule games that were canceled due to COVID, you know? So, you know, they're pivoting, they're trying to finalize this thing. And look, it's another opportunity to keep the NBA brand out there and make money for the league, which, you know, as a player, here's that fine line. There's the reason why everyone's making the money they're making is because of these types of, you know, this type of exposure and the sponsorships and everything related. So look, man, I'm not going to be there. So, you know, If it helps the league and it helps the players, I'm all good with it. It's the bottom line by for me.
Crotty on the call. I like that. Crotty on the call. He and Eric Reed do an absolutely wonderful job, and hopefully the Heat will do a wonderful job over these next coming games. I know they got the new.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.